Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
The show's namesake, BJ Shea. He's right over there.
Hey.
And running the boards is Joey Deez.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday. It's comic book day. It's a day for all of us to go nuts. And we're going to ask, what if? Because we'll be talking about last week's episode of What If. No spoilers on the upcoming or the one that's actually out now. And we don't want to, ruin your day. We will also be getting some comic book talk from BJ Shea.
Hey!
You will also be giving us a little bit of TV talk with The Bad Batch and giving us a movie review of Cosmic Sin.
Yes!
And finally, we will get to the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more. Or just search for BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app.
Now, I'm gonna have to tell you this, kids.
Huh.
I may have to recluse myself. Recuse myself, that's the word. I'm going to have to recuse myself, I think, from What If, because I think you guys are an episode ahead of me.
Which was the last one you watched?
I watched number two.
T'Challa.
Yeah, I watched T'Challa, and I'm going to watch, episode three today, as a matter of fact.
Oh.
Because I don't know why. I'm a week behind, because that's who I am. That's how I do.
They drop on a weird time. I mean, putting the veil down, peek behind the curtain. We record on Thursdays, and the What Ifs come out on Wednesdays. So if you're not
wrong. Wait, it comes out on Wednesday?
It does. It comes out on every Wednesday.
Oh, I need to change my thing. I always thought it came out on Thursday.
No,
that's
no,
why
no.
I'm behind.
Then there you go.
I have two episodes to watch then. I didn't realize that.
Yes, you'll have two episodes to watch for our next one. So we'll get to that. But before we recuse you of your duties, let's have you talk about some of the geeky stuff that you've been engaging in.
Oh, Bad Batch wrapped up, and boy, did they wrap up really good. Oh, yeah. It was a real sad thing as it focused on... spoiler alert for people that haven't seen it. It focused on the demise of Kamino, and if you ever wondered, like, wow,
oh yeah,
you know, they showed us Kaminar. They showed us that Kaminar, or is that from Star Trek? It's Kamino. That's right, Kamino.
Yeah,
Kaminar
Kamino.
Kaminar is where is on Star Trek Discovery. Saru
all these
is from
space
Kaminar.
Names, man.
Yeah, the Kaminoans are from Kamino, and that, of course, is the guys that made the clones in episode two.
Mm-hmm.
And, we never saw them in episodes four, five, and six, and really haven't seen them, I think, in seven, eight, or nine, now that I think about it. If we have, I don't know. I can't remember seeing any Kaminoans.
I don't remember them, no.
And there's good reason.
Oh.
There may be some hanging out in the galaxy, maybe some escaped, but... the Empire really showed why they were jerks, and they showed very quickly as these last two episodes of Bad Batch showed you the fate of Kamino, and it's unfortunate because it was really sad. Even though some of the Kaminoans deserved it, because they were kind of genetic engineering and really not regarding the clone's life with anything.
And if you consider it, I mean, it's a tactically sound decision for the Empire to get rid of it because they were no longer using clones at that point.
Yeah, it's one thing to say, hey, we want to blow up your lab, but boy, they went a little further than that.
Yes, they're firmly establishing that they're the bad, bad, bads.
Yeah, they are really the bad, bad people. it was a powerful two-part episode, basically, the last two episodes of The Bad Batch, including, one of the brothers of The Bad Batch, who we thought this whole time was going against everybody because he still had that, Order 66 chip in his head.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, we can just get this out of your head, brother. Man, you'll be cool. You realize we're okay. And then you see that his head is disfigured. He goes, oh, no, it's been out of my head for a long time. I just believe what I believe,
which is he
believes in the Empire. And, so his brothers cannot get him because they're the Bad Batch are a set of clones that are different than the average clone. Some people call them defective. Others say, oh, no, they have heightened abilities. They were an experimental unit to see what would happen. Can we make clones different and make them cool? And hence their nickname, the Bad Batch. But they've been brothers, and they were on all sorts of missions together while the Empire was still the Republic. But then when everything went to hell, eventually one of the brothers just said, Crosshair said, I'm out. You guys are not good soldiers. You're not following orders. And then Crosshair ended up just hunting down the Bad Batch this entire season.
Wow.
And it's one of those moments, man, where, you know, he's just always going to be against them, even though he's trying to get them back because he appreciates the brotherhood. He wants them to join him. They want them, of course, him to join them. And they can't really bring themselves to kill either one of, you know, like he can't kill his people, even though he says he wants to. And they really can't kill him. A really, really good season, all in all. A couple of filler episodes, but, you know, you'll have that with 16-episode seasons. And, yeah, Bad Batch, the latest offering for Disney. And, of course, while we're waiting, Andor. I mean, if you're waiting for Andor to drop, which is the story of the dude from Rogue One.
Oh, yeah.
You know, why not watch the Bad Batch if you haven't already done it? I like it. I think it's it stands right up there with Clone Wars and Rebels.
Nice. Moving from television, going into movies, I'm interested in Cosmic Sin because it seems like it might be an interesting premise.
Are you though? Really?
Well, I mean, it's got some interest. It's got some good people in it. I know that Bruce Willis is in it.
Oh yeah, he's
and Frank Grillo is in it, which you might know as Crossbones in the MCU and some other stuff as well.
He's in it.
You're not. Your voice is not telling me that you're. Too intrigued or too happy with this movie.
Well, don't look it up on any of the Rotten Tomatoes IMDb's. If you want to just watch this and be surprised by its quality, go right ahead.
Oh, no. I did the IMDb look. Oh, dear.
Bruce Willis, it's so sad. I know. It really is sad. I really was so underwhelmed by this movie. And, you know, and underwhelmed by the fact that Bruce Willis is like, I'm in this movie. And there's a fight scene where Bruce Willis gets up from his seat at the bar, bangs a guy's head on the bar, and then gets back in the seat. Then another guy comes over. He gets up out of his seat, bangs a guy. I mean, everyone else is fighting, and he just get up and down banging, up and down banging. It's like that was as much physical exertion that he would do. Wow. And I think the guy really was banging his own head into the bar, Bruce, because probably it didn't even look like Bruce was really pushing him down that hard, like the guy did it himself. And then the plot of the movie, I don't know, there's aliens that guess they're bad and they must be stopped. There's gunfights. And Bruce Willis is like, yeah, this is a gunfight. I'm over here. I wish there was a bar I could bang the alien's head off of because I could really do that.
So what you're saying is not quite very recommended by the old BJ Shea here.
Gosh, I wonder if anybody like this. I really do.
Well, according to IMDb, no, not really.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, the concept was interesting. The first few minutes actually entertained me. I was like, okay, you know, I mean, like, the acting wasn't the greatest, but still, was like, oh, there's some S going down. Wonder what it is. And then it just kind of became a mess. You know, it was just like, oh God, this is a mess. But you know what? That's what I got. What I paid for.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, you already had your subscription. It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Then there you go. Yeah, you got your subscription. They got your money already. So good luck to you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think that, you know, they were hoping that Bruce Willis would get me to view. And it did. And it did. Because, I mean, look, we love Fifth Element, right? But Fifth Element was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Over 30 years ago, I believe,
Fifth Element was. In a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah. So I was hoping to get a little bit of, you know, the Corbin Dallas Bruce Willis.
Not so much.
No, he was a moonlighting in this movie.
All right, fine, whatever. We're done talking about that
Thank
now.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Moving on from the movie talk, going from the Cosmic Sin to the Comic Sin. What do you got in the world of comic books that you've been reading?
Well, we got Spider-Man in a lot of trouble. I don't think I've seen Spider-Man get his ass kicked as much as I'm seeing in this, because basically it seems like there's at least 20 to 30 villains that he is just being ping-ponged from as Kindred wants. Kindred wants to torture Peter Parker, and so he's got all of these Sinister Six, the Savage Six, the so-called Six, and then there's also the female Sinister Six. I mean, and they're all competing to kill him, and just when one faction's about to kill Spider-Man, then the other faction kidnaps him so that they can kill him, but then they get to, I mean, it's just a ping-pong battle of him just getting his butt kicked. Yeah, and so it is basically Sinister War is kicking Peter's butt. And and I don't know when this is going to end. I know I'm on issue 3 of Sinister War, and this Kindred character who's been in all of a lot of issues of Spider-Man, who we thought was Harry Osborn, even claimed to be Harry Osborn, but then we saw Harry Osborn in a cell. So it's like, well, if that's Harry Osborn, then who's this guy who claims to be Harry Osborn? Who, you know, is this? He's got all these sort of just slimy creatures that crawl out of him, very similar, as I said, to Vincent D'Onofrio's character in Men in Black, where all the bugs coming out of him.
The bugs and stuff, gross.
That's Kindred has a look like that, with a scarecrow kind of looking face. And he's very powerful, and he wants Peter to suffer. I don't know if he wants him dead. He just wants him to suffer.
It sounds like it. Goodness.
Yeah. So it's splashed over into Sinister War, as you know. We wonder if we're going to see the Sinister Six in Spider-Man: No Way Home. People wonder about that. We are definitely seeing a lot of the Sinister Everybody's in Sinister War right now with Marvel Comics, and then. Bittersweet, the end of Jeff Lemire and Dustin Nguyen's Ascender, which if you know that name, Jeff Lemire, I never know how he pronounces it. So sorry about that, Jeff. You may remember that name as one of the creators of Sweet Tooth, which you got to watch on Netflix and, of course, was its own great comic. Yes, this is the conclusion to the Starseed saga and the saga of Tim the Robot, Little Tim, and Mila or Mila. Don't know how she says her name, but she's also a little kid. And the two of them are coming together to end the badness. And it's an epic, epic story that really started with Descender and the story of a robot boy. And then Ascender, the story of basically this girl in the wild who, after basically the entire universe has been destroyed and all life that they know as it was. And so they're basically like just living off the grid, if you will, because it's like everything was EMP'd almost to death. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. Imagine Sweet Tooth and the sweetness of that and the journeys that Sweet Tooth has to take and what Gus is doing and everything. And imagine it, you know, really that same vibe in a story of a little robot trying to find his master and then a young girl whose dad is, in fact, the master of Little Tim. But he knew Tim when he was a little boy. So it spans like, you know, just many, many decades, this whole story of Descender and Ascender. Beautiful set of comics. Artwork by Dustin Nguyen for both series is nice, just gorgeous, gorgeous watercolor artwork. Or at least it looks watercolor. I mean, everything can be done digitally these days, but it looks beautifully like it's watercolor. And if you want a beautiful series to read and you love Sweet Tooth or love the Netflix series Sweet Tooth, Descender and Ascender is definitely for you on Image Comics.
And that you should start with the Descender, right?
Exactly.
I thought I remembered that. I just wanted to make sure and clarify for everyone else. Perfect. Well, now we are getting into the what if conversation. BJ, if you want, you can leave the room.
I'm leaving.
You don't have to get yourself spoiled on all that. Don't want to do that to you. So we are talking.
Yeah, just text me when you're ready for me.
All right, perfect. Now, with what if, usually they're taking a little bit of, maybe there'll be like one decision that sparks a completely different change. In the first two episodes, we saw that instead of Steve Rogers becoming Captain America, we had Peggy Carter becoming Captain Carter. And then in the second one, instead of Peter Quill becoming Star-Lord, we saw T'Challa becoming Star-Lord and becoming a way better Star-Lord than Star-Lord was Star-Lord. So it stands to reason that you don't know what's going to happen with these. And this one was one of those where I did not expect the amount of death that was going to be in this episode, because essentially what it was is that what if the Avengers Initiative never gets off the ground? And it really comes down to essentially when Iron Man 2 starts off and Nick Fury is trying to get it together and put the Avengers together, he goes and he talks to Tony, who's, you know, not really totally into it, but also he's getting himself kind of wrecked by that weird sort of like disease that got into him. And because of his arc reactor, there was this sort of weird, I don't know, was it like palladium or something like that? Like the thing was basically poisoning him in his reactor.
Palladium poisoning.
Thank you. I did get it right. Good. When it rolls down to it, it really came to the fact that, well, we'll heal you. You can come out, help us all out, and do some sort of stuff, you know, become the Avenger to get all the other Avengers and make it happen. Well, this time when they go to give him the cure, it kills him.
Whoops.
Yeah. So just boom, Tony Stark's dead. And we're like, I was like, wow, this is where they're going with this one. Very interesting.
Someone messed up the medicine.
Which, yeah, well, it turns out the medicine was not messed up at all, because we find that out when they go to look it up and find out, and they go meet up with Betsy Ross, who, if you know, is the friend and acquaintance, and I think maybe love interest. I'm not 100%. I don't remember.
She was, and it's Betty Ross. Betsy Ross is the one who made the American flag.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
He always gets me with that one. But yeah, so they go and they're trying to see what's going on. Finds out that she's hiding Bruce Banner. Not very well, by the way. But it's not the biological reason, even the fact that the antidote wasn't even used. So now we've got a straight up murder mystery going on. Well, soon enough, and actually even before that, we get the fact that Thor shows up.
Like it, like the normal Thor, like if you watch the first Thor movie, everything's happening like it did.
Yep, and then unfortunately, Hawkeye kills him.
Whoops.
Yeah, shoots an arrow into him, and he was just like, well, I didn't do it. I would never do that. I'm, you know, the like perfect shot. I would never miss fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then soon enough, he dies in a cell that nobody should be able to get into. So now everyone's trying to figure out what the hell, bioweapon, what's going on. Nanobots, I think, is even brought up at some point in time. And then we get to the point where we see Betty Ross and trying to figure out what's going on. Hulk comes out. General Ross shows up to catch Natasha, who's trying to figure out what's going on because she's been pinned for the death of Tony Stark. But she manages to escape with the assistance of Nick Fury there. So it's a big whole murder mystery. Hulk explodes.
I'm so glad he exploded into like a puff of like smoky gas as opposed to just guts. I'm like, please don't do it. Please don't do it. Please. Because I'm like, this is still Disney.
I know. I was trying to figure out because I'm like, he's getting bigger. He's getting bigger. This is going to be like
he's gonna
a
go
pop.
Boom.
Yeah, there's going to be a pop. And I'm just thinking back to like Cloverfield where the lady like explodes behind the curtain and you kind of see what's going on. It was not that graphic. And so they, yeah, did kind of get away with that a little bit. But turns out that somebody is straight up murdering them, which also brings down Loki. Because, well...
Someone killed his brother.
Yeah, someone killed his brother, so now he has a reason to take over. His glorious purpose is to avenge his brother's death now with all of this. Of course, Nick Fury's trying to figure out, hey, maybe we can figure out a way not to let this happen, and we don't want Asgard to, you know, destroy the Earth based on the fact that this happened. And they're getting down to it. They're trying to figure out what happens, and it turns out that, well... It was none other than an Ant-Man.
Actually, it technically wasn't.
Well, he was at one point, but Hank Pym comes back as Yellow Jacket, which I thought was a super cool turn on that. Apparently, Hope Van Dyne died.
She joined S.H.I.E.L.D. just much like her mother and father both did, and just like her mother, you know, died in the field.
Yes, basically. Exactly. So the Wasp never became the Wasp. She was just a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. She died, pissed off Hank, who became the Yellow Jacket, and he knew about the Avengers Initiative, so he went about to go kill all of those Avengers to stop that from happening and stop Nick Fury from creating this group.
So is that the decision that was different in this timeline, is that Hope decides to join S.H.I.E.L.D.?
It really looks like, yeah, it was her decision to join S.H.I.E.L.D., and that was the catalyst that did all of those things. So she died and then set off everything.
Instead of staying alongside her father.
Yeah, yeah.
Which kind of kept him in check more than we realized.
Yeah, and I thought it was a really interesting episode.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was, out of the three of them, it was about the middle ground. I thought it was about the second strongest one so far.
I didn't really think about it. Like the first two, we knew what the change was right off the bat. And this one, we're like, what was it? Why are these things happening? So I thought that was really fun. One of my favorite things now every week is watching the episode and then going to IMDb to see how many of the original actors came back to do the voices.
There's a lot of them in this one.
Mm-hmm. So we have Samuel Jackson came back as Nick Fury.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Michael Douglas as Hank Pym. Clark Gregg, sometimes a tongue twister for
Craig.
Me, came back as Phil Coulson. Frank Grillo came back as Brock Rumlow.
Yep, as Crossbones.
Before he was Crossbones.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Renner came back as Hawkeye. Mark Ruffalo, same Bruce Banner. Tom Hiddleston came back as Loki. Jamie Alexander came back as Lady Sif. And I believe that is all of them.
Yeah, the rest of the people were other people who have done other stuff as well in the Marvel Universe and have voice acted the characters. But those aren't the ones that came back.
I do want to say Lake Bell as Natasha Romanoff. I almost thought it was Scarlett Johansson.
It was really solid.
It was really well done. And if you guys haven't seen Harley Quinn, the animated series, Lake Bell also does the voice of Ivy and does a phenomenal job there too.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, but all in all, I enjoyed it. I still think T'Challa's one was the best, not because Thanos was in it. I mean, that's not the only reason, but this one was, it was a little bit much. Like, there was, I mean, I don't necessarily want to see all the heroes get gacked, and then the ending of it really wasn't fulfilling at all. Like, okay, now that we don't have the Avengers, Loki is now just going to be taking over and taking over the world. Even though it did give a little bit of a hope at the end, because we still had Nick Fury creating and at least not maybe an Avengers, but maybe a Captains by going to find Steve Rogers and giving the old intergalactic beeper call to Brie Larson's Captain Marvel.
So we're assuming that every episode is a completely different multiverse, right?
Yeah.
Do we know that for a fact?
No.
Because I just realized if you mush all three episodes together, in theory, they could all be from the same multiverse.
Except for the fact, well, no, because Captain America was Captain Carter in the first one, and she got zapped into the Tesseract, not into a block of ice.
Oh, that's right.
And we see the block of ice in the Captain America shield in that. So I really do feel that.
That's the only thing, yeah.
Yeah, I do feel that it's making sure that these are separate branches of realities in the multiverse.
I'm just trying to piece it all together because we know
it's super confusing.
Because I have a theory of one of two things. Either in future episodes, some of these are going to tie together.
Mm-hmm.
Like something else is going to happen. It's going to correlate to what happened with Captain Carter or what happened with, obviously, we're going to maybe see Carol Danvers in again.
Yeah.
That being said, or my other thought would be the second season would basically be like every episode would have the second episode.
Well, I do know
in
that
the second season
they have mentioned the fact that Captain Carter will be kind of the one that will have something in every season of What If. They've announced that. We don't know necessarily where the other ones are going, and I mean, obviously, with something like Chadwick Boseman can't voice T'Challa for future ones of that. I don't know if they would address that or just kind of leave that one open.
And if you don't want any, I don't think it's a spoiler, but I'm going to give you the spoiler alert.
Okay.
Just in case. According to IMDb, there looks like there is still more Chadwick Boseman, three more episodes with him in it.
Yeah, yeah. And he'll be playing different versions of Black Panther. So,
I mean, maybe.
Maybe. So,
at least, I mean, I would assume zombie T'Challa.
That would be a little interesting on that one. Mm-hmm. I don't know for sure. I mean, we'll have to see where all of that goes.
I assume everyone's going to be a zombie at some point.
Everyone's a zombie. Well, I do love this, and I'm kind of excited to see where the rest of the season's going to be going on. But now we got to get to
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
All right, Vicky, what's going on?
Like I said in previous episodes, we are getting into the spooky season.
Spooky.
And fall and, gives me life.
And technically right now it is September, so congratulations, it's officially spooky season. I don't know if that's really how that works, but.
Yes, that's how it works.
Okay.
So I believe, Rev, you are a big fan of Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah.
Were you a big fan of like Anne Rice, like her work and books, or were you just just a fan of the movie?
I liked Interview with the Vampire, but it's long and it's very wordy, and Anne Rice has a way to spend 15 pages explaining or like describing a candle. So she's
very much like George R. R. Martin, I think.
Yeah, it just gets a little bit much sometimes. But Interview with the Vampire was one that I don't think people really, like, nobody gave it any shot because they cast Tom Cruise as Lestat.
And
everyone
was
like, that was a bad, bad idea. And it turned
He was always, like, the action guy up until that point, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And silly, I guess?
Yeah, nobody had any faith with him in that. And so when it came out and he absolutely killed it, pun intended, it just blew me away and actually gave me a little bit more respect for Tom Cruise, which I'm sure he very much cares about. But no, it was a very solid movie with a really solid cast. And the book, I mean, the book's the book. And if you like the book, then you're great.
And I mean, I have seen the movie and I actually really liked it. It was young Kristen Dunst. That was weird.
Yeah, yeah. Considering how much older she is now, it's just like, wow, you're itty bitty then.
And I posted this a while ago. That they are actually coming out with an interview with the Vampire series on AMC.
I'm kind of interested in this.
So they cast this actor. It's one of those faces, like, I know I've seen you in something, but I'm looking at your IMDb and I don't recognize any of these. Like, I recognize them, but I've never watched them. It's an actor named Sam Reed, and he has actually been cast as Lestat.
Mm.
So he, like I said, he's an Australian actor, so a lot of the stuff I'm like, I don't know any of these movies you were in, mister. But he seems like he has the bone structure, the face. He was in something called like 71 or Anonymous, the Railway Man, Bell. You probably would recognize him if you saw him.
Wow. I don't know who Sam Rhee is offhand, but Jacob Anderson's going to play Louis.
Which is what I was going to get into.
Okay,
next.
Yeah. That was the lead up.
No, you know who this actor is. We know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He is Grey Worm.
Yeah.
Grey Worm from Game of Thrones is going to be playing Louis, which was Brad Pitt's character.
That's interesting.
So that's the big news.
Wow.
I'm very excited just because I love the diversity and I love, like, especially because they were in New Orleans.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like I'm really curious and see how they do with this.
And I'm just
like, I'm okay with more vampires in our life, but just make it good.
make it interesting.
No Twilight, please.
And that was also, I mean, like, I'm just thinking about how good Interview with the Vampire was, because you also had Antonio Banderas in it.
Antonio Banderas.
Yes. And just so many good people who were in, like, kind of their youth when it came down to their acting career. So a lot of them were relative unknowns.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way that they acted their ass off with this. I'm really excited for this AMC Interview with the Vampire series.
And that's how I feel like it should be. If you're going to reboot something, whether it's going to be into a series or a movie or whatever it is, I like it when they get unknowns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you put in a big character, like, I was a little skeptical when I heard that we had Angelina Jolie and Salma Hayek in The Eternals, but it looks so far based on the trailers that it's going to work.
I'm hoping.
I'm like if they would have gotten like someone like huge name to play Thor when Thor came out for the, like, I mean, obviously Chris Hemsworth, super huge name now, but at the time nobody really knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very much a fan. If you're going to start something, put the unknowns in.
And yeah, even looking at this Sam Reed guy, when you were talking about, hey, I don't know the things he's been in, and I've been looking at it as well, and I don't know if I've seen anything he's been on. He's done a lot of TV work, and I think he's a British dude.
Australian!
All right, then, I mean, it's close.
I mean, distance-wise, not so much, but okay,
no,
buddy.
I know, damn it.
But if we're talking about more shows coming out and reboots or even like, not extension, what is that called? Spinoff.
Oh, yeah.
There is a spinoff that everyone's been talking about since this show came on that everybody wants, and I'm one of those people.
What is this?
So WandaVision brought in some characters we've seen before, and some of them, when they're put together, make some fantastic comedy.
Okay, yeah.
Being Kat Dennings' character, and I'm blanking on her, Darcy.
Yes, Darcy. She was so good.
Along with Randall Park's character, blanking on his name now.
Oh, the magic trick guy.
Yes!
From Ant-Man.
I know. Agent Wu.
Agent Wu.
So everyone's like, we want to see them put a movie together or a show together because they're just so funny together, or just have them be almost like a X-Files themed where they go on and like, okay, well, we fixed the WandaVision problem. What's the next problem we got to fix together?
Because we've got the scientist in Darcy. We've got the agent in Wu. So it's like, okay, you've got to figure out maybe trying to, you know, science all the explanations on why these things are happening. But it's getting harder and harder when you're dealing with magic, with the multiverse, with dealing with all of these different weird superhero-y things, which now are really going beyond the scope of science. So it would be fun for them just to find maybe even like lower level heroes and have this, the cameos. It'd be another Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. type show.
Mm-hmm.
But with those two characters, I'm totally down for it.
Oh, yeah. And actually, Kat Dennings did weigh in, and she says it's always up to the powers that be. And I think they took notice of all the comments, and I would be in it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So just, she's down.
Yeah. Start,
let's do it.
Do a petition on change.org or something along those lines. That usually works, right?
Or do like a trailer or something and have Ryan Reynolds accidentally leak it. Quote
oh,
unquote.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's like somebody leaked it. Who could that be? how much time do we get?
We got enough time for another story, but don't make it about your memes.
Okay, fine. All right, how about Magic the Gathering?
Oh, okay.
What?
What? Are you intrigued, mister?
Well, I mean, you talking about Magic the Gathering is like me talking about, I don't know, DIY stuff.
Actually, yes. I've played Magic the Gathering a couple times. And that was it. Apparently Netflix is going to be doing an animated TV series based on Magic the Gathering. And it's been in development for the last couple of years.
Wow.
And they just recently announced that Brandon Roth, you know, Superman. He was also in Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh yeah. He plays the Atom. Yeah.
Yeah. He will be voicing none other than Gideon Jorah.
which is a major planeswalker in the lore of Magic the Gathering.
Wow.
Yeah, so that'll be kind of interesting to, I mean, so you said animated, right?
Yes. Yeah,
so okay, because I was like, he doesn't really kind of look like a man from Greece, but
I mean, maybe.
I mean, they can make up and everything at this point. I can't really, you know, throw too many stones when it comes down to costuming stuff, but when it's animated, then it doesn't matter at all.
What I love is when there is like a nerdy thing like this, when the people involved are equally really excited about it, like our nerds, because apparently he's a big fan of the game himself. And he actually shared the news in a video on the Netflix Geeked Twitter account. Greetings, Magic fans. I'm Brandon Routh, and I play Gideon in the upcoming Magic the Gathering animated series coming to Netflix in 2022. For those of you who don't know, Gideon is known for being the strong guy who always stands up for what is right. Just and isn't afraid to fight. Now I understand why they hired me for this. Makes sense. Laughs. But seriously, I'm really excited about this show, and I'm really proud and honored to be a part of it. I'm a huge Magic fan, and I've been playing since I was 16. I've played many drafts over the years and have too many cards.
Nice.
More than I should.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, too, because in the video games, I just looked at his wiki real quick, and he actually voiced another planeswalker in MTG Arena. So the little voice acting stuff there, he did Raul Zarek in that as well. So that's interesting. He's got some other geeky background stuff, also doing voices for Call of Duty Ghosts, Superman Returns, obviously for the video game.
Oh, yeah, but he was in Scott Pilgrim. I totally forgot.
Oh, yeah, he was Todd in Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
This is a tough one.
Why is it? Because it's animated?
No, Vicky, if you got more stuff you want to say before I give my opinion of what I think of a Magic the Gathering show.
Currently, there is no other people listed as going to be in this. It's just him so far. But apparently, so I'm getting this off of cinemablend.com. And back in June of 29, they broke the news that Joe and Anthony Russo of the Marvel Cinematic Universe would be helming it. However, they reported that the Russo brothers and their team of writers left development of the series early on amicable but apparently definitive split.
Ooh.
And Jeff Klein, known for Transformers Prime, took the helm.
What's Transformers Prime?
Oh, God.
That's like a... Transformers Prime is also an animated series. And actually did get okay ratings, just looking at IMDb, 7.9 on IMDb. So
I think this is probably one of those things that flew under the radar, and it's more for kids. This actually really reminds me of like the Transformer Beast Wars that I really loved back when I was in elementary school.
Okay.
Except with better graphics-ish, just a little bit better. But
yeah,
it has that same vibe, that weird computery vibe from like the late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay, so this will be interesting.
We shall see.
So BJ, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, look, you know, it's been a while since I played a pre-release and have been familiar with any sets that have come out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say that. But I mean, basically 25 years of playing Magic and knowing the world, there are some cool characters. They've come up with a little bit of backstory to flesh out the place, which is great. But does it make a good story? Like, do we really care that much, and what, how, and do we really know these planeswalkers that well? Because the majority of the characters of Magic the Gathering are creatures that are summoned, and then of course you do have you have a good amount of planeswalkers. There's probably what, about 30 planeswalkers these days, I would say.
There's a really good amount, and they've tried to hone it down to almost an Avengers style like team of having like five or so that usually are like the forerunners for any storyline as they're going along.
But what do you think it's even going to look like? Because you don't know what to expect. You hope that. So are they going to make an amazing story that just happens to be themed in the Magic the Gathering universe? Or is it going to be an homage to Magic the Gathering with a crappy story? Because there's really no story. There's like a Bible and a little history, like, oh, Gideon did this, you know, and Jace did that. Urza back in the day did this, you know.
The last couple of years, they have tried to put down a story, and they have put stories into like book form to kind of follow along with the cards. So it doesn't stand to be outside of the reason that they would be doing that. And they did have a whole big thing with the Planeswalkers versus the Eldrazi monstrosities. And
they did have that.
And they told a little bit of the story in with the cards. But by and large, it was outside either like short stories that they put on their site, books that you could download, some of them you could buy, and just a little bit more fleshing out outside of the game itself with a little bit of the iconic story arc plot points being in the cards themselves. So, I mean, if you're a big fan of magic, you'll probably be able to poke a whole lot of holes into it. And the way that the Russos, like if the Russos were still in it, I'd be 100% all in. But at this point in time, I'll probably be a little bit more of the, well, this is a curiosity. I'll check out an episode, see if it's something that I care about. And it might just be something that's for the kids, but who knows at this point.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think the problem is that it's really fantasy heavy, meaning that like you're going to have to establish the world, and that's pretty difficult to do because magic jumps around a lot.
Yes.
And so like, if you're doing an individual story with Gideon, that means you're really only doing one world. So you can only have three or four of the main characters in it. And then if you're going to do more, you kind of have to change like completely.
I could see almost something like an anthology type series where it's like here's a plane, and maybe we bring them together, and then it also is now starting to sound like a Marvel property, which is something that I feel that they're trying to follow anyway because of how well Disney did put out the MCU. It's a blueprint for a lot of companies to take their IP and try to form them into more things than just what they're normally put out there to produce.
I know we said one more thing, but I have one more thing.
Okay.
Oh, this is another. This is like the Kiss farewell tour.
I saw this and I forgot this is something I really wanted to bring up because, BJ, you've read Oblivion Song, right?
Yeah, it's getting close to being the end. I think we only got a couple of issues left in the whole series, yeah.
Well, I got good news for you.
What's that?
It's might be the end for that, but it will be the beginning of something else.
Please tell me TV series.
No. Film.
Oh.
Based on the graphic novels, for those who don't know, by Robert Kirkman and Lorenzo Del Felici. Done by Jake Gyllenhaal, and he's going to produce and star in it.
Really? Mm-hmm. A movie it?
I could see him playing Nathan. He'll probably play Nathan, the main character, I've got to imagine.
Now, that's interesting just because of how beautiful the other world is with that, with the Cthulian monsters. Like that, the art with that has always struck me as something amazing. So if they can recapture that.
Well, the movie will be if they make a movie, man, there's a lot of twists and turns and surprises that they can really have in the movie, including like, you know, the first and second act could really have you just thinking they're fighting these horrible, horrible creatures. And then the third act can go, oh, you think so, but here's what's really going on.
Yeah.
Boy, that I love for a movie. That's a great idea.
That's really interesting.
I mean, it's such like brand new news that we don't even have an IMDb page for it yet.
Wow.
So I'm assuming he's going to be playing the main character.
Kirkman is just everything he makes is turned into gold. Like, four of his major books. I think The Outcast is one you may not know about. That was on Cinemax.
Oh.
And of course, you know, you got Invincible, you got The Walking Dead, and now Oblivion Song. Boy, everything that Kirkman does seems to really come to the screen in some way, shape, or form.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And until next time, guys, stay nerdy.